hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my countrymen, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down to a life I'm fighting in, talking down to me. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my countrymen, you're walking on the fighting side of me. The guy who claims he just don't believe you fight. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They live on milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking. Down to a life I'm fighting in a fallen down deep. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you run down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down to a life I'm fighting. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You run down my country, man. You walking on right beside me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me, and that's the name of this program here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. But lots more news and views for our people, and of course those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia and New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of these that may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Well, lots more news to tell you today. I don't know where to start. Well, there's a very, very interesting thing that happened this week in Canada. Not more than one interesting thing, but the clerk of the Privy Council, now he's a pretty important person, his name is Michael Wernick, and the Privy Council is the bureaucracy that serves the Prime Minister directly, runs his office, and that's pretty important. I'm not saying that to be tongue-in-cheek or ironic. It's a pretty important position in Ottawa. Now, the clerk was testifying in what is becoming a scandal within the Liberal government, and that is what to do, what to do about the fact that apparently pressure was brought to bear on the former Attorney General. She's now resigned. She's a native Indian named Jody Wilson Rabel, and the pressure was brought by probably by the Prime Minister, by his chief secretary and closest advisor and strategist, Gerald Butts, and others, including perhaps, in fact, admittedly, the head of the Privy Council, this fellow Michael Wernick. Now, you may say, well, what's the problem with that? Or what was the pressure about? Well, the pressure was about one of Canada's largest multinationals, SNC-Lavalin. And SNC-Lavalin is a major engineering firm. It runs mines. It even has a piece of the toll road that runs across the top of the city of Toronto called Highway 407. It's a big, and it's a big employer in the province of Quebec, and it's one of their sort of national pride outfits. Okay, well, what had happened is that SNC-Lavalin was charged with paying bribes in Libya and also having committed fraud in Libya. Now, rightly or wrongly, Canadian legislation forbids, in broad terms, forbids companies from paying bribes in third world, in other countries, and here too. Well, there was a case against several now former SNC-Lavalin executives, and there's a further case against the company. This particular case had wended its way. It was through investigation, and was now about to be prosecuted. Now, under legislation passed after intense SNC lobbying last fall, there is an alternate route that can be arranged by a prosecutor rather than a court prosecution. The company can admit what it did, bring forth information to, you know, lay everything out on the table, and then pay a hefty fine. There may be other things required, like the firing of executives who are responsible, etc. Well, SNC-Lavalin was heavily lobbying that the government take this course. In the end, the Department of Justice did not take this course, the Attorney General did not take this course. Now, all this is, appears to be fairly legalistic and complicated. It's not really. Another thing that is odd about the legislation is that a prosecutor may not take into consideration the financial damage to a company that might occur if there's a successful prosecution. For instance, this is what is particularly problematic in the case of SNC-Lavalin. Should they be convicted, they will not be eligible to bid for federal government contracts for 10 years. Now, that would be a major setback. Okay, that's all the groundwork. Jody Wilson, the Globe and Mail broke the story that Jody Wilson Raybould had been pressured. Now, she's not spoken publicly, but she did not go along with the pressure, if that's what it was, and she was demoted in cabinet. So she was demoted from Attorney General to Minister of Veteran Affairs, which is basically a relatively mild backwater housekeeping situation. And then she quit. So there's been this absolute furor over the last 10 days as to what demand hit all, what exactly happened. Okay. I have several concerns about this. Number one, I'm not sure I agree with legislation that forbids companies from paying bribes in foreign countries. I'll tell you what. Much of this world is a dirty place, is a corrupt place, and I would totally agree that business, the contract should be won on the basis of the best deal for the foreign countries in question. But that's not always the way of the world. It's not always the best deal, but who got, which greedy guts got paid off the best. Anyway, having issued that caveat, I have some problems with the notion, if you are going to give a company a special consideration or like an alternative to outright prosecution, why would, of all things, would you not consider the economic damage to the company and the country of a conviction? It would be possible if say SNC-Lavalin cannot bid on contracts in Canada, that it perhaps, maybe not necessarily would, but perhaps could go out of business. Well, should economic ruin, and that would be ruin for a lot of workers, not just an anonymous company. Should economic ruin be the price? Anyway, it's all fairly interesting. And I'm going to leave that item, actually, to introduce what I really wanted to talk about, and that was the testimony before the Commons Justice Committee of the head of the Privy Council, Michael Wernick. While he did talk about SNL, the pressure brought to bear on Jody Wilson-Raybould, and he claimed that he and others were simply making her aware of the concerns of members of cabinet and of other people, that there were consequences to continuing the prosecution. So it was a lot of word parsing, but this is actually what I found interesting. And this is from Colby Kosh's column in today's National Post. We can only be grateful that the head of the civil service found time to mention these salient timeline points after he'd completed an uninvited philippic on the contemporary state of Canadian politics. Quote, I am deeply concerned about my country right now and its politics and where it's headed. I'm worried about foreign interference in the upcoming election, and we're working hard on that. What country exactly is he talking about? Well, I don't pretend to know, but I find it curious. Colby Kosh asks, was Wernick intending to suggest that some sort of Russian brain gas had been dispensed in the ventilating system of the Globe and Mail headquarters? That was the paper that broke the story. Tempted though I am to believe it, I do not see how his apparent hypothesis was pertinent to the purpose of his appearance, except as a self-evident attempt at a distraction. But he went on. Did he go on? He complained that protesters are using words like treason and traitor to characterize the current government, calling these words that lead to assassination, and moaning that somebody is going to be shot during the upcoming federal election campaign. One can only wonder what cave Mr. Wernick was occupying at the time of the 1988 general election on free trade, or whether he has ever read any of the words written on the posters of climate protesters. This is what it was. He worries about an assassination. That was in relatively non-violent Canada, a real alarm bell, and out of nowhere, and had absolutely nothing to do with the subject matter of his testimony. At our meeting on Wednesday night in Hamilton, Dr. James Sears, who is
one of Canada's free speech martyrs, having been found guilty for satire in a satirical newspaper, Your War News. He wondered if this might not be a sort of setup. If there is violence, then he can say, well, we told you so. And who is he talking about in terms of signs like traitors? Well, I'll tell you who he's talking about. There was a big protest of truckers this week in Ottawa. They come all the way from Alberta in Western Canada, picking up supporters along the way. And they were there to protest Canada's insane anti-energy, anti-automobile carbon tax and other obstructions the federal government has thrown in the way of building pipelines that are necessary to get Alberta's oil to international market. And there are, joining these people, who are primarily focused on energy, taxes and the like, members of the Yellow Vest movement. And one of their major concerns is a protocol that Canada signed along with other dumb nations, but not the United States, not Hungary, not Australia, which would seem to oblige us to bend over backwards to allow self-proclaimed refugees admission and to support them, give them welfare, legal aid, all the other goodies, and so on. And to take active measures to suppress anti-immigrant, or as they put it, xenophobic commentary in our own country. That's talking about free speech. Anyway, a lot of people protest that, as do I. And some of the protesters also protested the fact that these are the Yellow Vest folks, Canada's open borders. Well, essentially open borders, or I should say lack of control over those illegals spilling across the U.S.-Quebec border into Quebec. This has been a scandal, and close to 50,000 have poured in over the past year and a half. Now, is this what he means? And there are people who would denounce Trudeau as a traitor to our security. One of the most basic roles of government, which is to protect the border, has not been done. And so is this the sort of dark thinking or commentary that's warning of violence, and then if violence occurs, you can say, well, we warned you, we told you so, and it's all those people. Blaming peaceful protesters. And then he went on to say, not content with making me feel warmly, he's talking about the protest in Ottawa. This is Colby Koch commenting, and he said, but this protest has plunged Canadian establishment lifers into a state of bug-eyed pantomime horror. I suppose then he goes on to say that not content with making me feel warmly toward the Globe and Mail and to the protests, Wernick went on to denounce the vomitorium of social media, notifying us by his misuse of Latin the classical education is one tradition of our civil service that we may have let slip to our peril. Wernick, you see, is worried, quote, about the reputations of honorable people who have served their country being besmirched and dragged through the market square. So there's all this commentary on the social media, and Facebook and Twitter, and they say nasty things. He calls it a vomitorium. Well, I take a slightly different view of this. I don't see Facebook as a vomitorium, or YouTube or Twitter. Yes, there's much nonsense and garbage out there, but equally, there is almost unrelieved fake news, restricted news, slanted news, and garbage in the mainstream media. What I think particularly cranks Privy Council head Michael Wernick's engine the wrong way is that there is, I won't say there's freedom, but there's relative freedom. Ordinary people can actually make a comment up there and perhaps not be wowed by the reputation of people like our own Prime Minister. He says everybody in public life is highly motivated. Au contraire, many are innately selfish. Many people are out only for themselves and are not well motivated. Not all are, of course, but and Colby Koch continues, what I find objectionable in Wernick's creepy attempt to persuade the people of Canada that if recent events have made them doubt our institutions of government, to lose faith in them, is in his phrase, it is the people and not the government that must be the problem. You see, that is the thinking, the what seems to be the subtext to Wernick's commentary. If people have lost faith in the government, well, it's our fault, the people, not the fault of the people in government. And that is very much the elitist Ottawa attitude. Indeed, Wernick suggests they are probably suffering from delusions spread by sinister foreigners on social media. It seems puzzling that a man should denounce the careless use of words such as treason and traitor at the very moment he's pouring paranoid xenophobia into the nearest camera hole. Anyway, I thought that was an interesting and helpful commentary. My friend Brian Rue is a very interesting fellow. He's a videographer in Vancouver. He was until he got red-pilled a few years ago, relatively apolitical, like many other people. He bought all the the establishment stories. He believed in the so-called Holocaust and so on. And then things changed. And he has become a tireless videographer, promoting a wide variety of people, just an amazingly broad group of people. Have done videos with Brian Rue, from Representative Dr. David Duke to myself. I've done over 130 with him. It's really quite amazing the great work Brian has done, and a great personal sacrifice. Organized Jews immediately saw to it that he would be fired from most of his. He made his living as an instructor. an instructor in meditation and in Buddhism. And quickly phone calls were made and those jobs one by one disappeared. When things like this happen, I like to say that most people don't wake up in the morning with their faces all twisted into a rage and wanting to dislike Jews, or I would think any other group, frankly. But it's the conduct of organized, and I do emphasize organized, the Jews, that I think sometimes lead people to dislike people, Jews. And I'm thinking of the vicious actions of Harry Abrams of B'nai B'rith. He's a B'nai B'rith big noise in Victoria, British Columbia, who made it a special point to go after Brian Rue and try to bring about his financial ruin. Now, this is what Brian has put out, and it's I'm not actually a cry from the heart, but it's a very sincere statement from a very brave man. It's called The Subtleties of Outrageousness. I want to explain my strategy about how I get my message on a video with the Brian Rue Show. If I were to talk to someone and explain my views, they would get upset
and I would grow weary, as the Buddha said, was his concern. I'm sorry, Brian Roo is a Buddhist, has become a Buddhist. He even studied as a Buddhist monk in Thailand for a while. My views are outrageous to people who are not aware of how the world really works. Fortunately, I can happily express myself at length on a video, and thousands of people will sit and listen to me, while I don't have to listen to them. This is a dream come true, fulfilled by YouTube. I can be subtle because no one can interrupt me, as I am alone when I videotape, as well as a lecture. Over 100,000 people patiently and very impatiently listen to and watch my videos. I will never know how they react and how I affect their lives. I merrily whistle down the sidewalk while they scream at my image on the computer screen. In person, people walking past me on the sidewalk don't know me at all, so I live in peace. Jesus said, "I have come to turn brother against brother." I cause bitter fights within families as I sleep well at night, drifting off to dreamland with a satisfied smile on my face, recollecting the video I released that day. Only the internet has given me such power. I'm 100 times more influential than I was 20 years ago when I was teaching Buddhism to 20 people a day at Douglas College in Vancouver. The Buddha taught right speech. The internet makes us much more karmically responsible for our words because our power is multiplied in time and space. Centuries from now, we can be influencing people with a YouTube that we produce this year. Such power staggers the imagination, so use it responsibly. I believe that I do but my critics would laugh at such a brazen claim. I have contemplated at the subtlest level of my thought my influence on my video audience, and I'm acting as responsibly as I can with regard to what it is expedient with my limited means and the crisis in the world that I tend to every day. I've been aware of walking the line since my flow of videos began in 2011. I've tried to avoid too much fame in my hometown while my target audience is the rest of the world. I don't get to know the residents in my apartment building, and I don't discuss my job with them. I keep a low profile in my neighborhood. The men in the U.S. and Germany who obsessively express their hatred for me in writing in my video comments, I take refuge in my deep religious devotion to the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. I keep my friends close and my devas closer. I believe the karmic merit of my actions is 1,000 times better than when I was teaching Buddhism in night school. My aspiration is to take rebirth in the Tavatsima heaven and a modest celestial mansion near Saka, retinue of the 39. My conviction is in my own rebirth keeps me going every day. Who can deprive me of my next life? On March 17, 2013, I already accepted my death when I started these inflammatory videos. It is 1919, and my actions over the past 6 years have earned me far more merit than the previous 53 years. I share that virtue with all the unknown white guys who built this wondrous internet technology. Like Mara, above our heads, that's one of the Buddhist gods, I have had the worry, the resignation, and the challenge of being watched by Rothschild, Zionist, Talmudic establishment all these years. It's a foggy intuition I've had about it, if and how I've been protected or left vulnerable as a sitting duck. Accepting death makes me a man with nothing to lose. The three most dangerous people are the king, the pope, and the man with nothing to lose. We live in a children's world. 97% are like children. I grow stiller and stiller. After a day in the street interviewing reactive normies, I stand with Gary Mitchell eyes, and I feel my chi energy surging as the next inspiration descends and commingles with my mind. Since childhood, I took the Star Trek image of Gary Mitchell from pilot episode with glowing eyes as a visualization practice of an enlightened mind and power. The Buddha taught to visualize a confidence-inspiring object, and this is one that I use. Technology enables the peaceful and subtle communication of the outrageous. Because of the power within the internet that I choose to seize, life is worth living more than ever before. I want to stick around as, quote, this gig is getting interesting, as my colleague Diane Chase says. Long live and prosper in wisdom, Brian Roo. And I just find that an amazingly serene statement. I wrote to him that I really consider him a saint. And I don't mean a goody two shoes, although he's a generous and kind man, but a person who is serene and unafraid doing what they're doing. And that was something Dr. James Sears said at our meeting, both in Hamilton on Wednesday night and Toronto on Thursday night this past week, that once you overcome fear, my gosh, you are really a power. No one's talking about foolishness. Somebody who's not smart enough to be scared, but somebody who is with good reason scared and still overcomes it. And here's a woman who's doing a lot of good. This is from Red Ice Radio, and this is Lana Kotcheff, and this is Things That Make You a Far-Right Extremist. This is from Red Ice Radio. And, Lana, I think I mispronounced that. Lana Wachteff.
You ask. If you ask me, a man... What is an extremist? You probably had this in your head the moment I said that. And for many, it was probably one put in your head by the media. So what is the quality or state of being extreme? Well, it all depends on who you ask. If you ask me, a man cutting off his genitals, for instance, that's extreme. Or a person who hates their own nation and wants to replace their own people with foreigners, that is also extreme. But if you ask a communist, these people are communists. Anyone who opposes whatever they want is an extremist. This pejorative word extremist is pretty new and mostly used to describe political matters, almost always used to attack one group, white people. In fact, I think this word was created simply for that purpose. Could we all agree that blowing up a building or hijacking a plane is extremist? Actually, we can't. Just ask open communist and retired professor Bill Ayers, founder of the Weatherman, a faction of Students for a Democratic Society, who carried out a campaign of bombings in the 70s against U.S. government institutions. Yes, he's an actual terrorist who brags about it, never spent time in jail, writes articles for mainstream media, and worked in education reform. He's also friends with Hillary and Obama, and whines about far right-wing terrorism. He claims that left-wing terrorism doesn't even exist. We never, ever hear about far-left extremism, terrorism, because unhinged, radical lefty terrorists are in charge. Yet article after long article is published on the threats and fears of far-right extremism, the most deadly of all things. Today, though, any white or even questionable white-looking man who commits some kind of a crime or attack is called a far-right extremist. Cambridge says an extremist is someone having beliefs that most people think are unreasonable and unacceptable. Well, guess what? If all your ancestors were alive today, they'd say that the majority of modern-day politics is insane, the extreme opposite of what they all believed. And this applies for all races. What was considered basic common sense, understood by most of the world, and definitely in the West until just recently, is now labeled radical far-right extremism. Why? Because neo-communists control the media. In reality, we live in a day of radical leftist extremism pushed as something completely normal in attempts to destroy and upset a natural order that has existed since the beginning of time. The left has shifted the dialogue so extremely far into their own insanity that any sort of basic normalcy is deemed far-right extremism. In truth, boys and girls, your grandparents and everyone before them all used to think, like me, they weren't soy-eating liberals calling for open borders. You may think you're beyond the left-right paradigm or that you swing on different issues, but it doesn't work that way anymore. Because if you don't agree with everything the left wants, you are a far-right extremist. And for me, I could care less what a bunch of lefties think about me. Not pleasing them is doing the right thing. So, if you say yes to any of the following, you might be a super-duper radical far-right extremist and put on a terrorist list by the FBI. Do you see that men and women are biologically different? Do you say there are only two genders, not 57? Like to work out and stay fit? Are you a man who's unapologetically masculine? If you hate soy products, if you eat meat,
you give me a good old rub. That's it. Why?
Are you a woman who enjoys looking soft and feminine and wants to be pretty for men? Do you laugh at dumb things feminists do and say?
We need to kill all men. I am sick of being a baby factory that produces more men that will just subjugate me. Kill male babies. Kill any man that you see, like in the streets, like any swinging just kill him.
Have this haircut? Wear braids? You want a lot of European babies? Oppose the mass murdering ideology of communism? You laugh when someone starts talking about Karl Marx. If you oppose full-on open borders, don't trust the government? Yeah, extremist. Do you understand that people actually do conspire, plot, and plan in secret? Are you against ethnic and cultural genocide and the replacement of a native people in their own country, including white people? If you think races are biologically different, do you celebrate Yule, Ostara, and other ancient European traditions? If you talk about Norse gods and goddesses or anything pagan, do you like camping, nature, and hiking? Do you attend a Christian church? Are you part of an exclusively guys club that likes to do guy things? Part of a nuclear family? Homeschool your kids? Disgusted by pedophiles? Against children learning about anal sex in the fifth grade? Or about them learning about it at all? Are you a housewife who likes to cook and clean? Are you against gang members freely walking across the border? Do you question everything you're told to believe by the mainstream media?
You are bleak. Sir, go ahead. Can you stay, kind of?
Especially if you question things like slavery, colonialism, and anything else in the history books. If you defend the right of free speech, do you see how hate speech is really totalitarian thought control? If you plainly see that people aren't created equal, laugh at white privilege and the invisible knapsack nonsense.
White privilege unpacking the invisible knapsack.
Yay!
White women are oppressive to work with.
If you're white and don't hate yourself, or if you're white, straight, and southern.
I just want to take time to say thank you for my family.
Shake and bake.
Dear Lord Baby Jesus, we also thank you for my wife's father, Chip. We hope that you can use your Baby Jesus powers to heal him and his horrible leg. It smells terrible and the dogs are always bothering with it. Mm.
Are you white and unaffected by white guilt? Do you enjoy laughing at SJW fails compilations? Are you so bored of the words racist and Nazi and white supremacist? Do you question the word refugee and migrant or child refugees who look 35? Do you talk about globalist elites, bankers, corrupt politicians, and NGOs? Do you despise socialism? Talk about the Constitution? Do you think the Civil War wasn't about slavery? Do you think the South has a culture? Do you talk about how in the height of American slavery, only 6% of Southerners had slaves? care to worry about LGBTQ and other said victim groups? If you just don't care about Muslims, Jews, Israel, and their foreign wars.
Why do we spend so much money on Israel? I've often heard people make this complaint. The truth is, we don't spend enough. We should spend more.
If you just don't think about anti-Semitism or the Holocaust, if you don't like Islam or Judaism, are you against America invading the world to bring liberal democracy?
I'm kidding, my allegiance is to democracy!
Have you ever talked about the blatant theft and ongoing murder of white farmers in South Africa? Do you want to live in a nice white neighborhood with other nice white people? Or are you a non-white and against whites becoming a minority in their countries because you too like to live in a nice white neighborhood? Are you against globalists turning the West into a multicultural country for everyone united by a shopping mall? If you don't want the entire West, and really the entire world, to be exactly the same in every way, yeah, me too. The next time a leftist or anyone else charges you for being a far-right extremist, laugh in their face and say, thank you, because it means you are a healthy human being living in the real world. You don't need to defend common sense, truth, and Mother Nature. It is they who must be charged for being maniacs trying to destroy everything natural and consistent on planet Earth. That which always has and will exist. Nature didn't screw up. It is they trying to pervert normal impulses as something incorrect. Well, good luck with that. This video, say thank you to a Red Ice member who made it possible. We love you, loyal members. With all we're battling, you have our backs. Please don't stop. We do need you. Want to join the Red Ice family? Head over to redicemembers.com and access all our material and help us get the truth, a lifeline out there where the attacks never stop in the sea of insanity. Like, share, re-upload. Thank you for watching.
And this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. That was a great little presentation by Lana. Things that make you far right, and cuts through so much of the nonsense. Well, I'm going to take my musical break right now. I'm going to play an old Ray Price song recorded by Heather Miles. This is Crazy Arms. Heather Miles.
Someone else.
Tune Crazy Arms. Here's another one with Heather teamed up with Justin Trevino. This time I know we're going to make it.
Shows up.
Heather Miles, Justin Trevino, this time I know we're going to make it. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on The Fighting Side of Me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Going to play a song by Amber Digby and Justin Trevino. This is We're the Kind of People That Make the Jukebox Amber Digby, Justin Trevino, we're the kind of people who make the jukebox play. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. And here's Heather Miles begging you, that's right, begging to you.
And you dare me to door. You said that I come back. You knew what I'd do, and you know.
And you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Back with you again tomorrow, same time, midnight Eastern Time. The show is repeated at 8 in the morning, 4 in the afternoon. All of those are Eastern Standard Time. And I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me.
In days of yore, from Britain far, Wolfe, the dauntless hero, came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, and twine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen, and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. Heights and Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom, homes and loved ones dear, firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield them never. Our watchword evermore shall be the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. Dominion now extends from Cape Race to Nootka Sound. May peace forever be our lot and plenteous store abound. And may those ties of love be ours, which discord cannot sever, and flourish green o'er freedom's home. The maple leaf forever, the maple leaf forever.